Is God good? Do you feel like he's speaking to you this morning? Yes, no? How many feel like he's leading you, directing you? I love moments like that where we can, you know, that's what we're here for. And I just sense his presence here. And, you know, I just encourage you. It's moments when there's something about worship. And I wanted to talk about worship this week. It had been in my heart. And then partway through the week, the Lord was like, no, you need to talk about the church. So we'll get to that soon. But it's just, you know, the moments like, what, you know, when we can gather. There's something about when we can gather together corporately and lift God up. It's just amazing. And it opens heaven. You know, and there's just, those are the moments when I find I hear God the best. And I encourage you to learn to practice to listen. That, you know, so often God will just drop like the perfect thought in your mind or the scripture that you've been reading or thinking about or you memorized 100 years ago. And all of a sudden it's like it applies right now to what you're facing, what you're going through. And but we have to learn to actually listen. So often we're thinking about what's happening at lunch, what do I need to do later today, and what's going to happen at school this week, and what's going to happen with this and that. And you can get so distracted you actually miss his voice. You miss what he's saying. And so it's so important, you know, and that's what I love about church. I love that we can gather and take time to encourage each other, but also to connect with God and to hear from him. Amen. I just totally realized I forgot to give you an update on my dad. So I'm going to do that quickly before we get started. He had a CT on Friday and he still has 3 spots that are bleeding. And so they were not able to start him on the blood thinners. They are hopeful for tomorrow. So they're going to do another test tomorrow and really hoping they can get him on. Please keep praying. I mean, the neurologists are very concerned that more clots could come because he's stuck in a bed. And so just keep praying for protection that there would be no clots. And then it sounds like, I mean, it seems to have changed almost every day this week. One day they tell us one thing, the next day another. But it sounds like as soon as they can get him on blood thinners, he'll be headed to Regina, is what it's looking like, to Wascana for rehab. So just pray that all that goes smoothly too, because we have heard so many different stories about what might happen. And the whole out of province thing adds a whole other dynamic. And so anyway, just pray that it all goes smoothly and it all lines up. And I do think that for his sake, probably Regina is the best place instead of Edmonton or somewhere else. So yeah, I'm really encouraged as well. They had him this week. His leg is starting to move more. When he's even sitting on a chair, the physio guy was holding his hand out and my dad can lift it up and hit his hand. And so there's starting to be a lot more movement there. So keep praying too for his body to be restored. You know, I'm really thankful for, even sometimes when it feels like little things, it's something. God is doing something. And I think that's really important. So, and pray for my mom and sister. We all thought this was going to be like a week in the hospital, and it's turned into 3, and they're tired. So pray for them. But I do want to say a huge thank you to all of you, too, for coming and just being an encouragement to us and the messages and the calls and the texts and the prayers and all that stuff. I just really appreciate it. So thank you. Thank you for all your support. Okay. Okay. Well, let's pray for him right now. God, I just thank you for Harvey. I thank you, God, for the crazy things you've done in his life in the past. God, some amazing stories of healing and breakthrough. And God, we lift him up before you. And Jesus, we just say, have your way in him. We just curse that cancer in the name of Jesus. And we just speak health and wholeness over him. We pray for healing in his entire body and for wisdom for those doctors too, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, while we're at it, just last night when I was praying, I recorded it actually for the online service, but I had felt there was someone with issues with your ear. And actually Juan was just telling us this morning after, you know, that he's been having issues. He's going for tests with his right ear. Anybody else have any issue with your, like any kind of infection this morning or pain in your right ear? Yeah. Okay. Awesome. What's that? Okay. So I want to pray for that. And also I just felt like I heard last night, just somebody with some kind of digestive, like constant stomach problems and like pain. And I don't know if that's you at all. I don't even know. Sometimes it's like really general and it's hard, but I just felt like something like with a stomach lining or something with just indigestion or I don't know. So if that's you, I know that's a weird one. Like, but if it's you, you know, would you just slip up your hand so I know who I'm praying for? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so I want to pray. And I do believe, like, man, my whole life I've seen Jesus heal people. And so I just love it when he gives those nudges, I want you to pray for this. And it's encouraging. And so I pray that God would encourage you this morning. And so, Lord, we just pray for those that have issues in their ears, infection or inflammation or pain, or even ringing, Lord. I just pray for healing, especially in that right ear. I just pray for complete restoration in the name of Jesus. I thank you, God, there is power to heal in your name. And so we just say, in the name of Jesus, be whole. And we pray that those ears would open up. And we pray that they would function and be in full alignment the way you designed them to be. And I pray for those with stomach issues and digestive issues and pain. We just pray for healing. We say pain go in the name of Jesus. And Father, we pray that the digestive tracts would function the way you designed them to. And Lord, that there would be no digestive problems anymore in Jesus' name. God, we thank you that you are our healer. And we trust in you. And we look to you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So here's the final part of that. If you find this week you're like, there is definitely a difference. We need to know. Okay, we need to give God glory in that. And so I know sometimes, especially with like the stomach thing, is like, well, I can't tell right now, and that's fine. That's okay. But pay attention and keep praying for it. Like sometimes we say, well, that was cool, and then we just stop praying for it. Well, if God is highlighting that, just pray and keep praying and have faith every day. Pray. God, thank you that my stomach's going to be healed. And there is a part that we have to walk in that too, a stewardship that you know, if he's saying I'm doing something here, then we go and we keep fighting and we keep contending. Amen? Does that make sense? So anyway, to the sermon. I was reading a story this week about the YMCA. Does everybody know what the YMCA is? Okay, so I had no idea actually how its history and how it started out. But it got me thinking about our church and like just why we exist and the mission that we have. And so did you know that the YMCA at one time was directly or even indirectly with the organizations they were involved with, they were responsible for sending out 20,000 missionaries around the world. I had no clue. I read that and I was shocked. I thought, oh. And so there was a guy named George Williams that originally he started YMCA. He had a heart to reach out to young people in London, in downtown London. And so he began starting Bible studies for young men. And basically all these displaced guys in 1844, he would meet with them and pour into them. And it became a movement known as the Young Men's Christian Association, or the YMCA. And so Christ was literally at the core of everything they did. The mission was to reach young people by any means necessary. And so they used Bible studies, they used prayer meetings, they used exercise, they used everything they could. The idea was, we're going to reach young people, young men for Jesus, and we're going to help them to grow. And so they said its founding motto came out of Jesus' prayer in John 17 that, actually I have that up there, but just that the Lord prayed about unity, Jesus prayed about unity and said, may they see, how does that go again? My brain is blanking. Anyway, do you have it there, Angela? I'm in you and you are in me, and may the world see us. Anyway, we'll get to it because it's in my sermon too. I'm not only praying for these disciples, but also for all who will believe in me through their message. I pray that they will be one just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. So that was the prayer that they had as part of their motto. And so the YMCA began to spread and began to grow as a movement. And it actually came across the ocean into the States. And there was famous evangelists, like, have you ever heard of Dwight L. Moody? Okay, he was the president of the YMCA in Chicago. And there was people like that really pushed and helped this organization gain ground. And so as time went on, the Great War came, and people kind of became disillusioned. And they talk about in the history thing how, you know, after the war, a lot of young people questioned Christianity. They left their faith. And as time was going on, there was less money for the YMCA. And so what they did is they kind of did a reorganization. They reshuffled. They re-envisioned themselves a little bit. And they began to focus not on the God side of it, but on the exercise part of it. And one thing led to another. And you saw in the 70s and 80s, it became strictly a fitness center, and basically downplay the biblical side of things. In 2010, the YMCA dropped everything in its name but the Y. And they totally, I mean, if you look at what they were started for, they've lost complete track of the mission that they set out to do. So they went out, they went from being probably the strongest missions or missionary sending organization in the world to a gym focused on exercise, which is not a bad thing, but it's not who they were, right? And so, I don't know, I read that story and it just struck me about just how we have to be so careful that we don't get distracted and lose sight of the main thing. Why are we here? And so I want to, you know, read this. Matthew chapter 5 says, "You are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." We have to guard against losing our saltiness. We have to guard against hiding the light that God has given us to shine for the world. Amen? There will always be pressure to do whatever is easiest, but that doesn't always mean it's the right thing to do. We really have to guard against losing the mission. I honestly believe that today there are denominations dying because they have lost track of why we're here, why churches were started, why, you know, many have strayed from the mission that Jesus gave us, and that is to go and make disciples of nations. And when it becomes about other stuff, we get totally sidetracked and watered down, and the message gets lost. Amen? So here's the question, and it's a stinger. Do we care enough about our neighbor to tell him the good news of Jesus? Do we function as a church in a way that helps disciple people to go and make more disciples? That's a big question. So why church? Do you know that church is God's idea? In the Bible, the church is, there's different illustrations that the Bible uses, but it talks about us being a body, all having a role and a part to play. It also uses the imagery of a bride, that we are the bride of Christ. And the idea is that we are here for each other, that we're not meant to do this alone, that we're here to build each other up, to encourage each other, to use the gifts that we have. Did you know that Bud is really good at being Bud, and no one else is good at being Bud? He's the best at being Bud. And you are the best at being you. And nobody can be you. And nobody has the gifts and the reach and the influence in your sphere of life, whether it's the people you work with, the friends, the family. That's you. That's uniquely you. And God wants to use that to make a difference wherever you are. And he's made you uniquely you for a reason, because he thinks it's a good idea. And so we need to remember that as a church, we function the best when we all have our part. We all have our part to play. We all have something that we can bring that makes us a better reflection of God's glory to the world around us. Like, the church is actually meant to show the world the goodness of God. And together, we can do it way better than individually. The church should actually be an incredibly, incredibly attractive place for the world. Did you know that? What God's heart was, that it was a picture of love, a picture of acceptance, a picture of the gifts in action, and seeing the heart of God moving amongst people. And it would be a sign to the rest of the world that we need that. And so, if we attack each other, if we fight with each other, what message does that send? If we're concerned more about ourselves than about loving our neighbor, even in church, when we gossip, when we fight, when we argue, when we can't get along, and we lose sight of the mission, what message does that send to the world? People see hypocrisy, they see religion, and they don't see love. The church needs to be a place where anybody can feel welcomed, anybody can feel accepted, and anybody can walk in here and feel loved. The church needs to be a place that does equip us, that does help us, that helps us to grow in our faith, helps us to grow and understand what it, you know, how to reach other people, how to love other people, how to use the gifts that we have, how to understand the Word of God. Amen? We are not meant to do this Christian walk alone. It's just not how we're designed. I mean, I think that's why, partly why God created marriage. It was like it was a reminder to us that we're better when we have people around us. There's something about, and I'm not against singleness. Like, there are also times and calls where God tells people and calls them to live in that. So hear me. But I just believe that marriage is a picture of the power of two people coming together. Does that make sense? My dad often talks about the three C's for church, all right? Connecting with God, connecting with other people, and caring for the world. And that's something that came out of the whole Discovery Weekend and stuff when we talked about church. And that's why we value the things that we value. We want, when we gather together, we want to connect with God. It's a primary thing that we want to do. That's why we have worship. That's why we have prayer. That's why we have, whether it's testimonies or someone preaching a sermon, but we have something from the Word to teach and exhort and hopefully encourage and challenge us for the week. It's food, right? It's spiritual food being given to us. Can it be the only thing that we have during the week to survive as a Christian? No. We need to keep that connection with God. But there's something about, again, corporately coming together and being together to encourage each other and build each other up. And we also, it helps us care for one another. So we connect with God by hearing from Him, by worshiping Him, by praying. And when we hear from Him, we're able to care for each other really well. Because, again, little things. But I should phone so-and-so. They've been on my heart all day. That's God saying, hey, I want you to care for someone around you to help them. That's being the church. Amen? It's even those little things that make such a big difference. But when we're connected to God, we hear Him and are led by Him to do those things. When I'm listening to God, I care about people in my community. I care about the world around me. And so it's all connected, but it starts with we gather because we need to grow and connect with Him. And that enables us to care about the people around us and care about our community and not just what I'm going through. I don't know about you, but I've noticed that it's really easy to get distracted and care about my own problems and my own challenges and what I want and feel. And you can all of a sudden just forget about everything going on around you in the community or in your church or whatever. You ever notice that? And that's dangerous because, again, you lose sight of the mission of what God has called us to be and do. And it can happen as a church really easy. We can get really focused on, well, we need to run this program and we need to do this and we need to do that. And we forget that we are here to make disciples and everything that we do should be about connecting people to God, connecting people to each other and to the community. So honestly, that's why we put a value on certain things more than others. Like, that's why I love this church. Us as a church. Sometimes I'm talking about church in general, but right now, like as us as a church, I love that we value worship. I love that we value His presence. We need His presence. I love that we value prayer, that we believe that, you know, if God says it in here, it's available to us. And I think that's important. I love that at least in my mind, we are free to use the gifts God has given us. That's part of being in this church. If someone has a prophetic word, go for it. If someone has an idea to love Maple Creek in some way, shape, or form, we want to be able to say, let's do this. Because God has given you an idea. God has given you a gift to lead or to create something. Or, you know, we want to be behind that. That's our heart as a church, and I'm thankful for that. We've used the quote of Heidi Baker so many times that love looks like something. And it really does. Love looks like a meal delivered to your door. Even when it's buried in a hockey net with a rock and a hockey stick and a bike on top. I loved it. We went up to visit my dad this week, and on Tuesday night, we were up there and we came home, and Benz and Gary, I don't know who all it was, came and delivered a meal, and it was waiting for us. And I was like, thank you, God. Like, that is being the church, though. You know, there's people that need a meal. And I'm so thankful that we can just do that. Like, that's an amazing opportunity, but that's being the church. Again, phoning someone up when they're on your heart, being like, hey, can I pray for you? That's being the church. You know, that's what love looks like. Love looks like giving your time when we have people that, that are downstairs teaching Sunday school right now. That's being the church. You know, people that come and help with Kid Zone or youth, or like, they are taking time out of their life to say, I want to pour into that next generation so that they may encounter God, that they may get to know him, and they may grow up knowing that God is real and cares for them. That's amazing. But that's being the church. That's who we are. You guys okay? I can't remember if I shared this last week, but I don't even remember what day it was after my dad had ended up in the hospital. We had gotten home from seeing him. We had actually gone up, and I think it was the first time I'd actually got to take him out in the wheelchair and go for a walk, and we're praying for him. We spent a long time just praying with him, and I got home that night, and I was responding to people that were asking how he's doing, so I was sitting there texting, and I was listening to some guy preaching on the computer, and while I'm texting people and responding, I hear this guy. He says, I have a picture of somebody that was walking their parent today, and they're in a wheelchair, and they're disabled somehow, and you're praying in tongues over them. And I see you walking like in a park or something. And we had just wheeled my dad that afternoon to the park by the school, right across the street from the hospital. And so like he just like ding, 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 listed all these things. It was exactly what had happened. So I drop my phone and I jump on there and I'm messaging. Yep, that's me, you know. And he says, I see as you continue to pray in tongues that the healing is coming, that a miracle is coming. Well, that's encouraging. And that guy had no clue who I was, right? So then, last Sunday, you know, Leah says, hey, I had a dream that Pastor Hans was running again. And I go, thank you, Jesus. You know, my kids, Jill just asked them one night to ask God ask God for a picture. What, nothing to do with my dad, just ask God, what's he saying? And both my boys said, we see Grandpa walking. That was a picture God had given them. But all those little things, we've had different people that have phoned me and just said, we were praying and we feel that God's going to completely restore him. That's the church. Because sometimes we need other people. We need other people's faith. We need the hope. We need encouragement. And I'll just say, I'm thankful for you as a church, being the church. And when you or anyone else struggles and goes through stuff, because we all do at some point in life, don't we? We need others that come alongside and say, I'm praying for you. I'm believing for you. I'm here for you. Things like people have dropped off meals at our house and cards and all that stuff. And it's so helpful. And that's what caring for each other is. And I say thank you, but that's what the church is called to do. Amen? That's why we need the church. I noticed this, I don't know why, but you know how social media picks up on things. Maybe we're talking about lions one day or something. But all of a sudden this week, every time I opened Facebook, I'd have, you know, one of those National Geographic videos of lions killing stuff. And I was noticing, like, if you've ever watched these videos, lions know the exact right time. They know when the weakest animal's there or the sickest one, or they just know the right time. And especially when they single out alone, they go. And they know, they just have that sense, right? They know when to attack. And I was thinking about how, like it says in 1 Peter 5, stay alert, watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And it's when we're alone, it's when we feel like we're rejected, it's when we feel like nobody cares about us, it's when we feel like all that kind of stuff, that we're disconnected, that's when the enemy loves to attack and loves to beat you while you're down. But when you're connected, it's way harder to get dragged down into all that stuff because people around you are there for you. And we do feel like we are loved and cared for. Does that make sense? And so it's dangerous when you step into that realm of being alone. That's when the enemy knows he can attack you. That's when the assault happens on your mind with all kinds of thoughts about depression, discouragement, and you lose hope for the future, all that kind of stuff. But he knows when you're tired, he knows when you're feeling alone, and he knows now is the moment I can attack. So if you look in the early church in Acts chapter 2, they met together. The believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Now, it's a really simple recipe, but it works. That's what the church is called to be generous with one another, to care for one another, to meet together, to build each other up, to eat together. Food's spiritual, there you go. But we need each other. We need the gifts that God has given us. When we pursue God together and care for one another well, the way he calls us to, he moves. I really believe it's like it paves the way for answers to prayer. And that's what draws people. Miraculous signs and wonders. God healing people, touching people. And their lives are changed. I don't know about you, but when I look back at so many times in my life, when I've had certain issues, like my ankle, I've shared this story a lot of times, but I mean, they sent me to supposedly the best foot specialist in Western Canada. And he goes, yeah, there's something really messed up with your ankle, but I can't see it on the ultrasound, the MRI, the CT, the x-rays. He's like, nothing shows it, but I see there's a problem, but sorry, I can't do nothing. And I remember it was 4 or 5 years of like chronic pain all the time. And just feeling totally hopeless. And then God in a moment, randomly one night when I got up off the couch saying, I'm going to heal you before your boy is born. And that was 3 days later. And the pain left and never had pain again. And you go, well, when that happens to you, you can never deny that God is real. You can't deny that he doesn't love you or care for you or know what you're going through. And those are the moments. We all have different stories and different moments where God is broke in. And I encourage you, like, seek his face because he has moments for you too. Amen? Do you believe that? He doesn't just love me because I'm a pastor. I know I'm his favorite, but... But honestly, he loves you. And he is looking for those moments when we engage our faith. The part I often don't tell about you in that story is, like, every day I prayed and said, God, I thank you. By your stripes, my foot is healed. I thank you, Jesus, that you're my healer. And it's hard. It's not easy. But I fought for that for years. And I prayed and I trusted and I stood on. And I had devotionals where every single day there's a healing scripture. And I would pray that over myself. And I would get every chance I got, I would go get someone to pray for me and say, pray for my foot again. And it's disheartening sometimes too when they pray and nothing happens. Pray again. I don't care. But that's the attitude we have to have. Like, I'm going for this because it says it's in here. There's been nights this last few weeks I've been up till 4 in the morning praying, just saying, God, standing up. And I'm just believing for that. And I just want to end this morning talking about unity. I don't know. It feels like right now everything is so incredibly polarizing. if you're with me, we can be friends. If you agree with the way I think, politically or whatever else, we can be friends. If you don't, the heck with you. Have you noticed that? I don't know. This week there was a guy I went to Bible college with, which really shocked me, and he had this post about a certain political figure in the States. And it listed whatever. And I mean, who knows what was true and what's not. But at the top, he says, if you support this person, you don't need to talk to me anymore. And I thought, what? What is this coming to? And do you know it's okay to disagree with someone and still love them? Do you know it's okay to disagree with somebody and still work together for the mission of reaching someone for Jesus Christ? We are all different and we're going to think different things and like different things, and we might not always agree with each other. But if that's all it takes to derail us and break our relationship, what have we got? And there is something wrong behind all of this thinking that it's like, there's no love anymore. It's division, division, division. And the enemy's having a heyday with it. And so we have to be so careful not to get caught up in that and forget the mission, why we're here. Jesus and the message of the gospel is so much more important than any political whatever or anything that's going, even the COVID stuff right now. It's so divisive. Should I wear a mask or not? And should I, like, oh, just, I don't even want to go there. But like, it's so easy to get frustrated and angry when someone disagrees or thinks differently. Listen, just love. That's what we're called to do right now. Love each other. Love each other. Even though I talk with people all the time that have a total different view than me, and it's okay. It's okay. We can agree to disagree, and I love you still.
Because
So, like, if we can't get past that stuff, we can never reach people for Jesus. It's just impossible. So I want to read that prayer that Jesus did in John 17. I believe that Jesus was saying, may we keep the main thing the main thing. May we not forget why we're here. I'm praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will be one just as you and I are one. As you're in me, Father, I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me so they may be one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Boom. You know, I meant to put up 1 Corinthians 13 and I forgot. But you know there's some wonderful little things in that. Have you ever read 1 Corinthians 13 about love? Probably at your wedding. Every wedding you've gone to. But love keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not demand its own way. Oh. Do you know that unity, like when you read this and what Jesus is saying, unity sends a message, a really, really clear message. If we can live in unity, the world is attracted to that because all the world sees is fight, division, and arguing and trying to get ahead and trying to be selfish. And what unity says is I lay my rights down because I love Jesus. And he died on the cross so that I could be, he purchased my future, my life on the cross, which means I get to lay down my selfishness and say, God, I serve you. And by serving you means that I will have grace for people around me. It means I can live in unity with people around me, even when they think something different. And I know that hurts. Because I'm preaching to myself too. It's a fight every day. Like, it is. We have to really fight to guard our heart. Because it's easy to get offended. Really, really, it's easy. If you haven't noticed, it's easy to get offended. And offense is something Jesus paid for on the cross. And we are not called to carry offense. I'm sorry, but you don't get to have it. It's true. Just think about how many hours you've been derailed because you've been offended and ticked off at somebody and you don't want to let it go. Yeah. Yeah. And just think about the impact that has on your life. When Jesus said, no, I died for that and you're supposed to be loving people over here. And all I can think about is, well, that bleepity bleep said this and did this to me. That's not me and Jesus. And you can't live in unity when you're carrying this in you. Give it to him. Get over my favorite counseling phrase. Just stop it. So I know I said I was going to end, but I'm really going to end now. We changed our name to Family Church. Remember? You remember why? Remember we talked about we want to be a place that's like a family. Where no matter who you are, what you've done, in a healthy family, everybody can come in, feel comfortable, lying down on the couch, opening the fridge to see what's in there, and be themselves. And they know they're accepted. In a healthy family, anybody can belong, even though they have very different views. Like we just had Thanksgiving. I don't know how many times I remember growing up when we used to gather at my grandma's. There'd be like 30, 40 relatives there because my mom came from a big family. And boy, was there different opinions. You know, and I remember the politics discussions and I remember the discussions about God because that's my dad can't keep his mouth shut about God. So, you know, that it's going to come up. And I remember the arguments and I remember thinking, well, this is crazy. But at the end of the day, they still actually cared for each other and still were able to eat together and still able. And that's why we're a family. I'll do things for my family that I probably won't do for a lot of other people. But there's something about feeling like part of a family that makes me want to do it for my family. I will care for them. I will look out for them. I will help them. I will clean up after them. I will whatever. Provide for them. When someone else, probably not. We, you know, in a family, you celebrate the victories and you mourn in the defeat, but you do it together. You're not alone. I really honestly have not seen a perfect family yet. I don't know about you, There's often a crazy aunt or a grumpy grandpa or a wild child kid that's doing their own thing, a wise dad or whatever. But the point is, it's okay. It's okay to be different. It's okay to be able to celebrate the diversity that we have. In this room, there are a million different opinions about just take your topic. Right? You want to talk politics? We could have an interesting talk, right? There would be a different view all over the place. You want to talk about COVID? There will be a different view. The problem is, well, it's not a problem. It's actually a good thing that we are diverse. But we need to be able to accept that and celebrate it. So I dream about a church that lives out Colossians 3, and I'm going to end with that scripture for real. But a church that actually loves people and welcomes people. So if you could put that Colossians 3 up there. A family or community of people that are led by his peace, pursuing his presence, going after his heart, flowing in the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us. And I mean all of them. All of them. I dream of a church family that loves each other so well that it is a sign to the rest of the world, especially our community where God has put us, that he's here and he's real. And I believe that that's possible. I believe that we can love each other so well that it actually means something to them. And I believe that we can love them so well that they go, they're not fake, they're not phony, they're not a cult, they're not swinging from, well, we don't even have chandeliers, but, you know, I believe that's real. I believe that is attainable. There's Barna, I think, that says that the church has become famous for what we're against, what we oppose. And no, we should be famous for what we're for. So let's read this, and I'm really done. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. What's that saying? It's okay to be different. Right? We're all good. We're all accepted. Okay? Same thing spiritually. Like, some of us really are brand new to all this faith business. And some of us have been a Christian for 100 years, and we know the Bible inside and out. Don't be intimidated because somebody beside you seems like they know everything or know how to pray better or whatever. God is here, and he wants you to grow wherever you're at. You're accepted wherever you're at. You're important and valued wherever you're at. It doesn't mean that someone's more spiritual or better than you just because they can memorize more verses because they've been a Christian forever. Okay? I've run into people that just say, well, I don't feel like I can't pray like so-and-so, so I'm not gonna engage in the prayer meeting. Or I can't, you know, and that's like, no, come the way you are. Okay? Anyway. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Ugh. Make allowance for each other's faults. That's a tough one too. It's like Jeremy last week, he said that, let the scripture preach. I love this. This is one of my favorite chunks of scripture in the Bible, and it preaches hard. You know, forgive anyone who offends you. It's right there. I didn't say it. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace. And always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other, okay? Beautiful picture of the church. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God. With thankful hearts. That's a whole sermon right there. So can we pray? Thank you, God. In 1 Corinthians 9, Paul talks about, he said, I became weak to the weak to win the weak. I've adapted to the culture of every place I've gone so that I can more easily win people to Christ. And I think that we need, Lord, to be reminded that we need to do whatever it takes to reach people for you. There's nothing wrong with all the stuff in life that's going on, the busyness that we have, the good things we're involved in, just like the YMCA. It's nothing wrong with celebrating and promoting healthy living and exercise and all that. But Jesus, you are the reason we're here. And help us not to forget that. God, help us not to forget that we need to teach our kids and our grandkids who you are and not get distracted with school stuff and sports and all that. But Lord, you need to be the center of everything in our families, in our homes, God, in our marriages. Lord, for us to reflect your glory as a church, we need to be united. We need to do what it takes to love each other and to keep that love and not get bitter, not get offended, but to hold on to one another and to hold on to you so that you can be glorified. And I thank you, God, that every single one of us is different. And I thank you that we have different gifts. And God, I thank you that those gifts make us an incredibly powerful church. You didn't die for the building, you died for us. And so, God, I pray for all of us. I pray for ideas. I pray for creative ideas, Jesus, in how to love Maple Creek well. I pray for creative ideas in how to love each other well, to care for each other. God, that we would not be so distracted with ourselves that we would miss when someone is hurting, when someone is struggling, when they need a phone call, when they need a meal, when they need just someone to come alongside and give them a hand. God, help us to be your hands and feet. Lord, teach us how to pray, teach us how to worship, teach us how to connect with you so that we can hear and we can be transformed, that our hearts would be changed into the people you want us to be. Help us to forgive. And I pray, Lord, that we would keep the main thing, the main thing. That we would be concerned about those around us who don't know you. And the rest, God, you take care of the rest. It can look different every time. It's not about a certain rule about how we have to do Sunday school or how we have to do church. It's about, Jesus, how do we honor you, connect with you, so that we can connect with others. Help our hearts to be right, God. And I just encourage you, just for a moment, would you just let God speak to you about your heart? And if there's anything there that just doesn't belong there, any attitude, any offense, any bitterness, any fear, because this is where it gets real. I'm reminded of David where he said, God created me a clean heart. That's really easy to say. But if you want to live the best life available to you, it starts in your heart and you have to get it right with him. So we're not going anywhere for a few minutes. Just trust. Just trust and listen and let him do the work. And I'm not promising it to be easy at all. But it's so worth it if you can bring healing. Let him bring healing. So Holy Spirit, we give you permission. Well, you pray that if you do. I give him permission for my life. Holy Spirit, I give you permission to bring up anything. Any offense, anything I've done wrong. Anything I've said or done to people that I shouldn't have. And God, give me the courage to go and make it right. Give me the courage to forgive. Give me the strength to do it, God. Because I do want my life to reflect your glory. And I do want, as a church, for us to be able to reflect your glory. And we do it the best when we're in love with you. When we're not holding anything back. God, teach us how to do relationships well. Teach us how to be good friends. Teach us how to be good neighbors. Teach us, God, how to interact and engage with people in a godly way. Teach us how to be good spouses, good parents. Lord, thank you for today. I pray, Holy Spirit, you would continue all this week to do the work that needs done in us. God, that we would be your people, that we would be people that live for the glory of God, that live to reach our neighbor. God, to help us to get our eyes off of us and off of our stuff. Lord, we want to give all of that to you so that we can see the people around us, that we have opportunities to love and to reach out to and to connect with. God, help us not to lose sight of that. God, help our hearts to be right. Jesus, give us a passion for your church, because it's not just about a building, but it's about one another, and it's about reflecting you. And God, help us to do it well. And I pray for ideas. I pray for passion. And I pray, God, for grace to reach this community, because we are here for such a time as this, and time is short. So help us, God, to not lose sight of that. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.